You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science magazine, a presentation of Airs LA. This week's articles include, at 55 seconds, archaeologists uncover royal tomb tied to the real King Midas. At 5 minutes 20 seconds, what happens when our brain goes blank? And finally, at 10 minutes 57 seconds, in what order did the planets in our solar system form? Let's get to it. This first article is from the Science Archaeology section and is entitled, Archaeologists Uncover Royal Tomb Tied to the Real King Midas, written by Andrew Paul, published June 12, 2025. It didn't include any gold, but the discovery has a lot to tell us about this ancient dynasty. This article begins with a photo of two archaeologists surveying a site in Turkey. Its caption reads, The tomb's cremated remains are over 100 years older than the earliest known cremation practices at Gordion. King Midas is the stuff of legend. Ancient Greek tales tell of a Phrygian ruler granted the power to turn everything he touched into gold. No monarch ever actually possessed a divine touch, or donkey ears, but historical records indicate at least two men with the name Midas oversaw the Phrygian kingdom during the first millennium BCE. In 1957, archaeologists discovered a royal tomb, also known as a tumulus, at the site of Gordion, Phrygia's ancient capital, located about 60 miles southwest of Ankara, Turkey. Analysis later showed the grave dated to around 740 BCE and held the remains of a man believed to be the father of the first King Midas. Years of subsequent excavations at Gordion have yielded remarkable finds, including the oldest known standing wooden building, the earliest colored stone mosaics, and even a gilded ivory sphinx royal statue. There is an additional photo. Its caption reads, An ivory sphinx statue was previously excavated at the Gordion archaeological site. According to Penn Museum researchers in collaboration with the Turkish government, archaeologists have found yet another stunningly preserved royal tomb chamber dating to around 750 BCE, and like the one uncovered nearly 70 years ago, this tumulus may have ties to Midas himself and could revise our understanding of the kingdom's ancient burial practices. In 2024, researchers including archaeologist Yusul Senyurt from Ankara's Hacı Bayram Veli University located the latest of the 130 mounds surrounding the Gordion Citadel by using remote sensing magnetic prospection equipment. The team then spent 4 months excavating a massive 21-foot tall by 196-foot wide wooden burial chamber. Designated Tumulus T26, the space remained impressively well-preserved for thousands of years, despite a collapsed roof, and shows no signs of grave robbing. Objects inside the tumulus included a number of relics associated with royal banquets, such as bronze cauldrons, jugs, and bowls, as well as additional iron tools. These items were frequently used to serve food and wine during funeral feasts, with many of the vessels still possessing traces of adhering textiles, an artisanal flourish associated with luxury crafting. There is an additional photo of bronze vessels. Arguably, the most striking discovery at T26 was its interred remains. Instead of skeletal fragments, archaeologists found evidence of cremation, a process believed to have been popularized at Gordion over 100 years later. Quote, The excavation of these tumuli has yielded a wealth of information about the lives of Gordion's rulers and their associates, unquote, C. Brian Rose, Gordion Excavation Director and Curator in Charge of the Penn Museum's Mediterranean Section, said in a statement. Quote, We now know that cremation among the elite was practiced over a century earlier than we thought it was. Moreover, the traces of textiles on the vessels provide evidence for one of Gordian's most important industries, unquote. It's still unclear if Tumulus T-26 belonged to King Midas himself, but even without a solid gold tomb, its dating and proximity at the very least strongly suggests a direct link to his dynasty. This next article is from the health section and is entitled, What Happens When Our Brain Goes Blank? Written by R.J. McKenzie, published June 9, 2025. Humans experience an empty mind up to 20% of the time. This article begins with a photo of a human brain going through translucent multicolored disks on a blue background. Its caption reads, Does your brain ever feel like it switched off for a moment? That's brain blanking. My thoughts often feel like endless streams of information. That's until someone asks me the name of a stranger I met 6 or 7 seconds before, and my mind goes blank. Mind blanking is much more common than you might think. Researchers think that our minds are blank somewhere between 5 and 20% of the time. Neuroscientists faced significant hurdles in adding color and detail to the mystery of an empty mind, but new research is trying to establish the edges of these formless thoughts. Defining the blank mind. Athena Demerzi, a cognitive neuroscientist at the University of Liège, recently published a review paper on mind-blanking research. The field has struggled to agree on what the term means. Demerzi's paper lists no fewer than 7 different definitions. Her preferred view is that mind-blanking is about, quote, the impression of having no thoughts or not being able to report any thoughts, unquote. This interpretation is intentionally vague, as people can use all kinds of language to self-report a mind blank. Examples include, I don't remember what I was thinking, or I wasn't paying attention. Demerzi says that this can trip up researchers who attempt to incorporate other brain processes, such as memory, into their work. Within this broad definition, Demerzi then works to separate different strands of mind blanking. This work is fraught with complications. One of the most reliable tools for examining the brain's inner workings is functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI. Demerzi explains that fMRI researchers often ask their volunteers to think of nothing while in the scanner. Doing so causes activation along the midline of the brain in regions like the cingulate cortex, says Demerzi. However, rather than being a marker of a blank mind, this signal is a cognitive marker of the effort required to suppress thoughts. A signal behind mind blanking. To block out this signal, Demerzi tried a different strategy. In a 2023 study, her team monitored the brains of people at rest in a scanner. At random intervals, participants were asked to report what they had been thinking of. The team then analyzed the brain activity patterns in the seconds preceding their response. The brains of individuals who reported blank minds showed a distinct signal, a pattern involving a momentary synchronization of brain networks. Quote, they are all deactivated, unquote, says Demerzi. This signal is also seen during sleep or anesthesia, she adds. This finding is supported by other research that has established a strong link between mind blanking and the level of stimulation our brains are experiencing, called arousal. When arousal levels are low, mind blanking episodes are more likely to occur. This is suggested to be because high arousal is necessary to keep up a continuous stream of thought. There may be a cost to keeping up a very high state of arousal, however. At high levels, this focus tips over into anxiety, which inhibits performance. Demerzi's paper points out that these anxious states can lead to racing thoughts that may blur individual ideas and make them hard to recall, another form of mind blanking. Mind blanking and ADHD. In certain cases, mind blanking can even be a feature of clinical conditions. Quote, we know that it manifests in clinical states like ADHD, unquote, says Demerzi. Unmedicated kids with ADHD report mind-blanking at a higher rate than kids without the condition. Other conditions that feature racing thoughts, like generalized anxiety disorder, also include mind-blanking as a related feature. The ultimate question for Demerzi is why mind-blanking happens in the first place. Researchers are still trying to figure this out, although she suggests that the link to sleep and arousal may be a hint. Quote, when we sleep, unquote, says Demerzi, quote, our neurons are getting rest by throwing away what has been accumulated throughout the day through the glymphatic system, unquote. Demerzi says that this toxin-clearing function, which is disputed by some sleep neuroscientists, may also occur in brief periods while we are awake. We notice these, quote, pit stops, unquote, in connection with mind blanks. Ultimately, these blanks may be a way our brain maintains high function for the rest of our waking experience. Quote, how can you sustain a continuous wakeful life if our brains are not helping a bit, unquote, says Demerzi. This final article is from the Science Space section and is entitled, In What Order Did the Planets in Our Solar System Form? Written by Christopher Palma and Lucas Brevka, published May 21, 2025. This article was originally featured on The Conversation. This article begins with a photo of computer artwork of the solar system. Its caption reads, An Artistic Rendition of Our Solar System. There is a question. Quote, are planets in the solar system that are closer to the sun older than the ones further away, unquote, asked Gavriel, age 10, Paducah, Kentucky. A cloud of collapsing gas created our sun, the first thing to form in our solar system. This happened about 4.5 billion years ago. Then the planets began to emerge as the billions of particles of gas and dust left over from the sun's formation became a flattened disk. Known as the protoplanetary disk, it was enormous and surrounded the sun for billions of miles. Within the disk, the gas and dust particles started to collide, solidify, and stick together like snowflakes clumping together to form snowballs. As the particles clung together, the microscopic grains became pebble-sized objects and then grew and grew. Some became rocks the size of baseballs, others the size of a house, and a few as big as a planet. This process, called accretion, is how everything in the solar system, planets, moons, comets, and asteroids, came into being. There is an additional photo of a spinning, glowing disk. Its caption reads, Telescopes can see young solar systems being born. This image is a protoplanetary disk from a distant star in the Milky Way galaxy. The Ice Line. By studying computer models and observing the creation of other star systems, astronomers like us have learned a lot about the early days of our solar system. When the sun was still forming and the protoplanetary disk was making planets, there was a distance from the sun where it was cold enough for ice to gather. That place, the ice line, sometimes called the snow line, was in what's now the asteroid belt, which is between Mars and Jupiter. Today, of course, ice is found on almost every planet, even on Mercury. But back then, only the young protoplanets beyond the ice line were cold enough to have it. The ice, gas, and dust slamming into each other for millions of years accumulated into enormous bodies that ultimately became giant planets: Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. While all this was happening, the smaller planets inside the ice line were forming too, but with less raw material to work with. Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars took much longer. Today, it's believed that Jupiter and Saturn, the largest planets, were the first to fully form, both within a few million years. Uranus and Neptune were next within 10 million years. The inner planets, including Earth, took at least 100 million years, maybe more. To put it another way, the four planets closest to the sun are the youngest, the two planets farthest out, the next youngest, and the two in between, the oldest. The difference in age between the youngest and oldest planets is perhaps 90 million years. That sounds like an enormous age difference, but in space, 90 million years isn't really that long, less than 1% of the total time the universe has been around. One way to consider it, think of Earth as a little sister with a big brother. Jupiter, who's 2 or 3 years older. There is a third photo of Jupiter. Its caption reads, "Taken by the Hubble Space Telescope in 2019, this is a photo of Jupiter, the fifth planet out from the Sun." Location, location, location. Soon after formation, the giant worlds began to migrate, moving inward toward the Sun or outward away from the Sun, before finally settling into their final orbits. For instance, Neptune migrated outward, switching places with Uranus, and pushed a lot of the smaller, icy bodies into the Kuiper Belt, a place in the outer solar system that's home to dwarf planets, Pluto, Eris, and Makemake, and millions of comets. Meanwhile, Jupiter moved inward, and its massive gravity forced some forming planets into the Sun, where they disintegrated. Along the way, Jupiter flung some smaller rocks out of the solar system altogether. The rest went to the asteroid belt. But most critically, as Jupiter settled into its own orbit, it moved all of the forming objects and likely finalized the location of the remaining inner planets, including Earth. All of Jupiter's tugging helped put our planet in the so-called Goldilocks zone, a place just the right distance from the Sun where Earth could have liquid water on its surface and the right temperature for life to evolve. If Jupiter hadn't formed the way it did, it's entirely possible life would not have ignited on Earth, and we would not be here today. Curious Kids is a series for children of all ages. If you have a question you'd like an expert to answer, send it to CuriousKidsUS@theconversation.com. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science Magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.